Hello?
Hello, Jeff?
Yes.
Hey, Mark Schaefer at the FBI.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for calling me back.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't grab you right away.
That's okay. You'll have a LinkedIn friend request or whatever. You can ignore that now. I was just trying to find some way to get a hold of you because I found you on his criminal complaint, and I wanted to talk to somebody that, and I didn't know exactly what office you worked out of or anything else. So, anyways, you can ignore that when you see it.
Okay. Yeah. So, the lady in the op center in Memphis said that I guess you tried Knoxville first.
Right. I tried Knoxville first, and then they
Nashville is a little sub office, and we report to Memphis.
Right, right.
So, kind of confusing, and eventually that's all going to change, where Nashville becomes the single division, and Knoxville, and that's in progress, but that'll probably be years.
Yeah, it needs it. It needs it.
Are you local? You got a 615 number?
I had a bunch. They forward now. I'm in Michigan now. What happened to me, they literally left me, they took away a $500,000 house and basically left me homeless in a 30-minute trial and without any due process. And it was nuts. The confusing part about this is it was two things together, okay? This involved a domestic action, which was a divorce, but all that is muddy water that just confuses everything. If you look at the deprivation of rights and you look at just the corruption of the court and how the two courts, federal court and bankruptcy case, was manipulated, and just the lawyer's actions alone and how they played the court orders between the bankruptcy court off of the chancery court. They basically used the chancery court and Michael Binkley and his relationship with attorney Virginia Lee Story, which has been published before over and over for the fact that it's a compromise of any impartiality, because they're good family friends. She's been friends with the clerk of that court for literally 40 years, since before she started college. I was overwhelmed for like a year and 9 months fighting this thing on the domestic side, okay, trying to argue a case that was all fraudulent, that they bombarded me with. They secretly...
When you say they, who?
Well, what I mean by they is there was two legal teams, one that handled the bankruptcy, that was Osbrooks, Story. So what they did is they had... I don't want to confuse you with too much domestic stuff, because it's just not, it's not domestic in the end. It's what happened, the only way, nobody could have done what they did to me with one court and without at least one corrupt judge and at least two corrupt attorneys. Well, I've got about 15 people that have been involved in this.
Okay.
And
you represented during these matters?
I tried to be represented in the beginning. They hit me. What happened is my wife knew her employer was about to retire. My wife made a lot more money than me. She was going to have to pay me $21,000 a year in alimony, okay? So she knew her employer was going to retire in a year. So she waited until that year was in, and she filed bankruptcy. And again, I'm not wanting to hurt my wife at all with this. This is the only thing I'm wanting to do, is to protect her and to protect others in Tennessee, because I'm never going to live there again. But if they can do this to me after how much I have fought them, there are so many people that are getting screwed that don't even have a chance to fight. That is my motivation.
Okay, so, I mean, and again, I know you've got your story, and you're going to tell it the best and get there, but I'm curious just, who benefited from this? You mentioned Binkley.
Who benefited from this? They thought that it was going to save my wife a $250,000 divorce settlement, but in the end, they burned it all down, and we both ended up with nothing. And the only people that benefited were members of the court and whoever their friend was that got $200,000 of equity of our home by doing a forced auction at the very first hearing, before we even started the discovery or they heard a single word I had to say.
Okay. Who ordered that? Was it Binkley?
That was Binkley. And so what they did is they used Binkley's relationship to Binkley's. Binkley was the one that was expunged by Moreland for prostitution charge before Binkley became a judge. That's hit the press lately and has made a lot of steam. But he is the one that ran for election, became a judge, and I mean, literally, I've only been in his courtroom twice, and the first time I was represented, I had to have, I didn't have any money. My wife had illegally cut me off from the funds, but was paying all the bills still. She had moved out, and, but she, and she decided if she filed bankruptcy, A, she would get out of buying me out of the house. I was in the house. I owned half of the house, but it was financed in her name. And she didn't want me, even if I paid for it. And so the only way to get me out of the house and to not have to pay what we had already hired collaborative divorce people. She already tried another divorce action before this, and she kept getting in situations where she was responsible for a lot of money. And I kept trying to work other things out with her, but she just wouldn't do it. So Attorney Story made it to where they got rid of me without me having a penny left in my name. And, put a 6-year order of protection against me so that I can't contact the media and request help. They put an order of protection against me so that I couldn't contact specifically the mortgage companies to try to save my financial interest in my home. You know,
let's pause there then. So do you happen to have in front of you, or can you get for me, the case file number for your,
yes, for
the divorce.
Yes, that was 48419 B as in boy.
48419
B as in boy, and that's out of the Williamson County Chancery Court. I can send you everything, but what I want you to really be careful of is everything that's written in there is almost 100% fraudulent. I can tell you exactly what was wrong with our marriage, and none of it was that stuff. All of that was written by attorney Virginia Lee Story, who's the one that has all these connections, who's the one that's been published for hosting parties with judges and powerful decision makers throughout the state repeatedly, who has been a friend of the Binkley family for both of the brothers for, you know, 20-odd-some years. They've both been published together. She, I found another article where she has been close friends with the clerk of that court, Elaine Beeler, for literally 40 years since before she started law school.
Yeah, there's no doubt the relationship. Who, and I know we're jumping ahead.
That's okay. I just don't want you to get lost on their bullshit, because if you read their stuff, you might believe I'm
writing a scorecard here so I can out of the players. Who muzzled you with this order of protection?
That was Binkley, and that was Binkley. They hit me with, I have ADHD. My wife knows that I can fight one fight at a time really well, but if I'm hit with multiple high-value things at one time, I become, like, defenseless. I'm, like, paralyzed. So they did this all by 4 separate legal actions simultaneously targeting every high-value thing that I have in my life. One was the order of protection, while my wife, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but is a Family First member at Front Sight Firearms Institute in Nevada, which is like a $20,000 membership, has 5,000 rounds of ammo under her bed, has a licensed certified handgun instructor, an FN, FAL, AR-15, a half dozen handguns, and is never been afraid of anyone physically in my life, and they justified this with angry text messages and emails that I wrote because I found out she had secretly filed bankruptcy and requested specifically in there that the house be forced to be sold. Okay. And that was all my life's investment was in that house.
Okay. And
I never threatened anybody, even in the text. And I mean, I was angry, but I also had tenants at that time, and that was how I was paying my bills. And they wanted to know, hey, what's going on? Are we going to have a home anymore or not? You know, and they violated the tenants' rights. They evicted them. They evicted me with a 5-day notice and had me escorted off the property with 4 sheriff's deputies like I was some kind of dangerous criminal, wouldn't even allow me to take my personal property with me, tried to convert it later into marital property, tried to auction it off by a federal court order to supersede the Tennessee court thing that says that you can take at least $10,000 of your personal property with you. You know, it was so scandalous how they manipulated everything between the courts to just take as much as they possibly could from me, you know. And I've offered them. I have, and this is, you know, and I can prove every single word I'm saying. Everything that you read in those transcripts will tell a totally different story, but it was all written by Attorney Story. And again, her buddy, the judge, signed everything. Okay. And I can prove even with what's written in the court orders, that she says things are in filings that I filed that aren't even in there, you know, and that even if you take the there's only 2 trials I was allowed to participate in. Then they ran me out of the state. Then they ordered everything by default judgment, never even allowed me to go to a hearing. Then they extended the OP after I was already out of state, never even sent me a notification to where I could participate. Then they extended it another 5 years while I was trying to fight in appellate court, and never sent me a notice for that. And I have a voice recording of the clerk of the court, clerk and master, yelling at me that she doesn't have to send me notices about anything. And I'd never said a foul word to her or anyone in the clerks. So I mean, it's just if you look at the domestic stuff, you can get lost in the fog, but if you make it through the fog, I still win. But if you don't even look at the domestic stuff, if you just look at the collusion between attorneys, if you just read a court transcript and assume that everything they're saying is probably a lie, assume there's no merit to it whatsoever, but you just look at the language they use, it's all illegal. They broke almost literally every sentence is a violation of the rules of professional conduct and a deprivation of rights. And for example, they would say, of course you can't bind a property with tenants. And I was a realtor for 17 years, and that's absolutely what you do. And there's, you know, federal Protecting Tenants from Foreclosure Act that even protect tenants from a foreclosure. So they broke the tenants' leases, saying that obviously you can't, you know, bind a property to the tenants, and that's what you do. You have to disclose it when you sell the property. And with the Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act, even if it's foreclosed upon, you have to allow the tenants to live out their lease as long as they pay you, unless it's purchased not by an investor but by a family that plans to live in it. Then they must give them 90 days notice. Judge Bakley wanted to give them 10 days notice. I spent $10,000 on legal counsel, and all I won for that was 30-day notice for him instead of 10. That's the only thing I got out of it. And then I was pro se after that, and then they killed me. And I mean, that the second court hearing.
Okay, now you mentioned the bankruptcy court.
Uh-huh.
So they were involved as well?
The bankruptcy court.
Or were they fooled?
Which they are we talking about? Virginia Story worked with Osbrooks. Virginia Story was the lead person on the divorce side that hit me with 3 things simultaneously. Forced sale of my house, order of protection because of, you know, they said they blamed me for a no trespassing sign I had on my property that was designed actually by my ex-wife. You know, she took anything that she could think of that was dramatic about our lives in any way, shape, or form, and used it to demonize me, and knew that my wife knew that if I had time, I could disprove everything. But if they could do it quickly and violently enough from enough different angles, I wouldn't even have a chance at all. I mean, they literally had me out of my house in less than 2 months, and and forced it to auction. The auctioneers to this day have refused to even give me a HUD-1 settlement statement showing me how much my house sold for or where the money went, which I know is against the law. I was a realtor for 17 years. They made it sound as though I was a monster. I mean, literally, I've never been arrested in my life. I've never had any violence problems. I've got letters.
When was this?
This was in 2019, and I've spent 2 years fighting it.
And fighting, who else, if any other agency?
I haven't talked to any law enforcement agencies because I'm afraid of getting my wife, ex-wife, in trouble. I don't want to do that. This has already destroyed her.
Let's say it was $200,000 in the auction. Who received that money?
That money was the whatever investor came to the auction and bought it for less than we bought it for a decade earlier, and then we put $200,000 of improvements into it.
But exactly, the proceeds. Who got that? The attorney's fees?
What I'm saying is everybody that benefited was neither me nor her. I think that they thought that she was going to benefit because she was going to get out of paying 6 years of alimony at $2,000 a month, which we had previously agreed on. And she was going to get out of having to buy me out of my equity in the home, which would have been about $100,000. And she was going to get out of buying out my portion of marital debt that was left in my name. So she was going to save at least $250,000 was the goal. I think in the end, neither of us walked with a penny from the house. In the end, she didn't have to pay me any money for the alimony or any of that stuff. And I'm not after any of that. I want nothing from her. I just want the people.
Who got the proceeds of the house then?
The proceeds of the house went to pay off $300,000 went to pay off the first and second mortgage, and we had bought the house for $350,000 a decade earlier and put $200,000 more into it. The investor that bought it for $300,000 put a $20,000 spit shine on it, turned around and sold it for $550,000 after he listed it for $630,000. You know, so that person, while Virginia's story is also invested in real estate and brags about that. So yeah, directly, that's not going to probably be one of them, but it's probably going to be somebody's friend, you know, and just the fact that
you haven't reported it to any other law enforcement, but have you made any, you know, the bar complaints?
I have tried the bar complaints. The problem is, right. The problem is they put the full burden of everything on me. It's like, you know, no matter who I tell this to, you know, like, for example, with the professional, the organization for the Board of Professional Responsibility, I wrote them letters, you know, a year ago, and Nancy Garrett, I believe is the name of the top lady there, and I provided her, I think, 500 pages of evidence of things that were done wrong, and she just forwarded it to her CAP division, and it says right online, are you filing a serious complaint or a request for assistance? And I put on there a serious complaint, and she forwarded it to their CAP division, and they sent me a couple flyers on free legal aid, and they shelved the whole thing. And then I contacted her again. I've got these emails where I contacted her again and made it very clear to her that I did not want it in the CAP division, that these are very serious complaints, and, you know, that felonies took place, that this, that, and then they told me all the different law enforcement agencies that handle these different things, and to let them know after I get done with, you know, court and everything, or appellate court, and I got a hold of her again. And I said, my understanding is you're the only one that handles complaints about violations of the Code of Professional Conduct, and that is what I'm asking of you. I'm not asking you to deal with the felonies and everything else. I will talk to people in those other departments about all those. All I'm trying, to this day, she has not filed a complaint against attorney Virginia Lee Story, but at the same time, right now they're crucifying another attorney that Binkley had it out for and is probably one of the more honest attorneys in the Middle Tennessee that actually has the guts to stand up against all these crooked suckers. And right now, huh?
Who's that?
Manukian, I guess is his name. I don't know anything.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. So, to your knowledge, no other law enforcement or regulatory agency is actively investigating that.
No, sir. You are the first person I've talked to. I actually called the FBI a year ago, and I started with the domestic stuff, and I got so lost. I mean, again, I was so stuck in the drama of my loss and how Ms. Story lied about all this stuff. I was trying to argue the merits of the case when the merits of the case are irrelevant. The procedures were so damn illegal that it's insane.
Okay, so no other, I'm not going to step on anybody's toes. Any agency or regulator?
No, I was about to reach out to Paul. I was about to reach out to Paul Randolph, I think, who is over the trustees, because I'm trying to figure out how to hold these people accountable and what people would have had knowledge about it. Would it have been a trustee's responsibility to have looked up the deed? For example, one of the reasons the bankruptcy was fraudulent, okay, and I don't just say this because it was intentional, that it's timing. I mean, those were my wife's motivations, but it was fraudulent because the company, Osbrooks, the attorneys that filled it out withheld all information about my ownership in the property. They did not list any domestic support obligations when my wife was the only one employed for the last 3 years, and that was by her wish, not. So they dropped me. So they defaulted on the mortgage payments like 4 months in advance without notifying me about anything, and then they filed for bankruptcy a few months in advance, and then they took it to Binkley to basically bypass my constitutional rights so I wouldn't be provided notice or anything. So basically they did all this, they laid all this groundwork, and then they nailed me in divorce court with three simultaneous actions to tie my hands, to prevent me from talking to the mortgage companies, and in the second trial all my money was gone, and I had to go pro se, and they just butchered me then. They refused. I have that on audio by permission of the judge, and I have legal transcripts. And he actually was the one that went out and got someone to transcribe this, because it was only me, him, and attorney Story who were in the courtroom. And since that day, they have refused to consider that testimony. They misfiled it amongst hundreds of pages of my technical records, so that two testimonies from my transcripts would not be sitting next to each other, because if you listened to nothing else or heard nothing else or did nothing else, if you compared those two transcripts to each other and heard the recording of that session, it would be undeniably clear that they don't match up. They don't match each other. What was said in the court orders from the first hearing.
That's Binkley's courtroom. Was there ever a federal court?
Yes. Well, there's a federal court, but I wasn't involved in it because they withheld the information that I owned any of the property. So yes, the federal court order actually they used at the end. So they forced me to leave all my personal property there, even though on my wife's divorce complaint, it even stated we'd already divided all the personal property. So everything that was left in the house was mine, with the exception of about six things. She went through the house and wrote down the few things. Okay, there was only one contested item out of all of them, so that wasn't a problem. And, but they refused to allow me to take anything with me other than a carload of clothes, medications, and toiletries, and to be out in 5 days. And I asked Judge Binkley, by what? You know, you just said I hadn't violated any court orders. By what reason or why? What's the justification that I have to be out so quickly when my wife had all this time and I helped her and everything else? And my wife wanted to remain friends. Nothing was hostile between us until Turney Story's attack started, and then it just put a wall up. And Binkley refused to tell me. He said, as a pro se representing yourself, you should know. You are taking into account that you know the entire law. I know that doesn't sound fair, but that's the fair way to do it. And I've got all that recorded. I've got, you know, audio recording and legal transcripts, and they refused to put those refused to record those as legal transcripts. They're buried in my technical record. They are there, but they refused to consider them legal transcripts. And again, that's because if someone just heard the tone of that hearing, every single thing that Attorney Story demanded, I mean, the judge didn't even need to be there, but every single thing that Attorney Story demanded, she got. I was allowed to speak for 7.1 minutes in that hearing, and that's the only time I ever was allowed to speak. They promised in that hearing that they were going to allow me to participate in the next hearings over the phone. Then they decided not to let me do that, and they sent me no notice. And I mean, it's even when they increased put the crazy order protection on me, which they said over and over they didn't want to do while I was in Tennessee and I was still an alimony risk because I really needed to get a job. But after they ran me out of Tennessee, they put a 1-year order protection against me. Then while I was in appellate court, right as I was reaching the deadlines, they added another 5 years onto that, knowing that the pressure would make it that much harder for me, and without even sending me a motion. And again, when I called the clerk and master, she was screaming on the phone that she doesn't have to mail me notices about anything. And actually, that's not how due process works. So when this went to the appellate court, it should have been a void judgment. I have like 603 pages on court record before this ever went to the appellate court, and not one word of one page has been used to my benefit.
What's the status of the appeal?
They threw it out because I couldn't write an appellate brief. I couldn't. There were so many people that were against me. I wasn't arguing one lie. It was every single thing that was written. I mean, that court allows the winning counsel to write the court order. So
I get that. All right. So this has been a 2-year, 3-year saga.
It's been a 2-year saga where I really was trying to fight within the legal system without going to federal court. I knew I could walk into federal court and they would bounce this out of there, but I wanted it to make some change for other people in Middle Tennessee because I knew that I'm a screamer and I'm a fighter and I might not be educated and I might not have money, but there's a lot of people that are worse off than I am, and those people are really getting screwed.
All right, Jim. Now, where are you in Michigan?
I'm located in Fenton, Michigan. Linden Fenton.
Okay. Some family.
I actually grew up in Holly, which was the rival school for Fenton, so having the last name Fenton wasn't so great at that time, but yeah.
Okay. And this is the best number to reach you.
This is the best number to reach me at, yeah. It's and I can get you, if you want me to email you anything, I'd be happy to. What I want to just caution you about is if you read the transcripts, they make me look like a monster because they treat me like a monster. But even a monster is allowed to testify, and
like
they make it.
Due process, it doesn't matter. You have your rights, and there's a way to go about things.
And there's no history to support any of it. There was never a domestic disturbance complaint before she left, and that they called me an abuser, said that I abused my wife. We spent 15 years together. We've been through counseling, church fellowships, all kinds of transparent things. That word abuse was not once uttered our entire relationship until she got a divorce attorney, you know, and Attorney Story lies about everything. I mean, the first reason she dropped the first divorce is she backed herself into a corner. She admitted she was financially responsible for all this stuff, which was true. And then we worked with the collaborative divorce person. But the problem became that she wasn't going to get it through the courts before the end of 2018. And at the end of 2018, the Trump tax reform went into effect, and so she was going to have to pay $20,000 a year in alimony, but she would not be able to write it off her taxes. So she was going to get still taxed on $100,000 of income. She was going to lose $20,000 to that, $38,000 in taxes she calculated, because she was going to forfeit the home she'd already decided. I mean, I've got all kinds of communications from her to where I can prove exactly why she did it. But I want, the only thing that I'm requesting out of all of this is immunity for her. I don't even want immunity for myself. If I get caught in doing something wrong, lock me up. But I want to protect her, you know. Because again,
send me an email with this outline, okay, and the players. And I have the case number, and I understand that it's not going to everything match, but at least we'll corroborate some of your allegations here. And let me see what we can do, okay?
Okay. I just don't want you to get – I want you to remember that one person wrote everything in there, and that one person is the most
– bogged down. And,
yeah.
And basically, yes, this underlying case happened, but it's the way that it happened, I guess.
Right. It's the fact that –
the allegations, the way I characterize it, it's not that the judge benefited from the sale of the house or any of the auction items, or it's a relationship, an improper relationship, a story.
Well, it's two things. First of all, the judge, first of all, there was a hearing right before mine, and I've written down most of this testimony. One of the things that I struggle with is finishing things. I've got like 100 things that are almost 90% finished, and I get discouraged, and I go in this direction because it's been so overwhelming for me. But there was one person right before me, and I've wrote down most of this testimony, but there was one person right before me that I really liked this judge most of the day until he got to the person right before me who had a severe speech impediment, and the judge just lit him up for the fact that he couldn't speak quickly enough, and he didn't make enough, and he wasn't paying enough, and so and my attorney turned around and looked at me at that point and was like, you know, we both knew I was screwed. I was next. I was unemployed, you know, ADHD, whatever the reason is. And that wasn't even why I was unemployed. It was an agreement with my wife at that time. But anyways, it was to do other things for us. But the underlying factor is that judge discriminates against men in divorces, period. Every divorce person I went to told me if I was going to Davidson County instead of Williamson County, I'd come out of this better, but under tradition, they favor women in Williamson County. Well, that's favor, but when they took it to the extent they did, that's like tradition calling slavery and women not being able to vote tradition. You know, I mean, it was way overkill. And I don't mind, you know, a little chivalry.
Let me give you my email.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's so hard for me to not be emotional.
No, you're fine. It's just so much. We're talking about three years.
Right.
This.
But here's the beauty of it. If you get to where you believe me and you can just forget about the domestic stuff, everything happened in two trials that I was in, two 30-minute hearings where I was only allowed to speak for 7.1 minutes. It's like
federal jurisdiction versus state jurisdiction. So.
But they manipulated each other. What I'm saying is, in the end,
I got to get there. And okay. Otherwise, it's going to be it's not against the law to be a bad judge. It's not against the law to be, you know, an aggressive attorney who characterizes things.
Well, one of the things.
But to the extent that they do collude or there is an improper relationship, a lot of times that's state law and it's not my jurisdiction. But let me start, okay?
Give me your email, please.
Okay, so first of all, it's M, as in Mark, and then Schaefer, S-H-A-F-E-R, at FBI.gov.
Okay. Can I just real quickly tell you, I mean, do you have a second to where I can just explain real quickly why this is a federal matter?
Sure.
This is a federal matter because the deprivation of rights, conspiracy against rights between a federal court and a regular court, they manipulated the court orders against each other without transparency. Remember, they forced me to abandon all my personal property there, and I was wondering how she was going to get past that $10,000 thing so I could still come back and get my stuff. And they went to the federal court and got a court order without even knowing again that I existed.
The judge
was Walker. And, again, he didn't even know I existed, but they manipulated the federal bankruptcy, and they manipulated the federal bankruptcy to hurt me as much as they could in the Chancery Court. So the Chancery Court, I don't know that the federal judge was dirty. He's the only person I don't know was or was not dirty in this.
I mean, they need to be unwitting. They just misled him, right?
Pardon me?
He could be just an unwitting.
Right. He could have just been. He might not have had any idea because everyone else falsified paperwork before it got to him, and it might not have been his job to look all that shit up. But still, either way, they violated every constitutional federal right that I had to. And even with ADA, telling them that, and the judge said right on the recording, sir, we all have problems we're facing, everyone, and he compared, ADA problems to like having to pick up your dry cleaning, you know, and, you know, and I have a recording talking to the clerk and master about, because it said on the bottom of the divorce summons for ADA assistance, call this number. And I called it, and I have that call recorded, and she says right there, oh, the only thing we can do is we can bring a wheelchair out to the car to help you come in from curbside. Other than that, there's no other ADA accommodations, period. And I asked, is there, you know, for pro se people, is there forms? Is there a website? I mean, this is before I knew anything. And nope, nothing that we know of. And I mean, the state of Tennessee has all kinds of stuff for all that, you know. I mean, they discriminated against pro se parties. They discriminated against ADA parties. It was just nuts. I mean, it's.
I got to take one bite at a time.
Right. I just don't know what's most helpful for you. I just want you to understand. It's not. I'm not fighting for anything in the divorce. I'm not even. You know.
Right. I can't.
I'm not trying to touch that.
My focus would be just on the manner in which it happened.
Right. And that's exactly it. That's the deprivation of rights, no matter what. I should have had a trial. You know, you can't take away a man's home and everything else without ever having a trial. You know, that's.
You wouldn't think so, but let me get in and take a look at it, okay?
Okay. All right. So, you just want me to.
You, if I have any questions, and then, if you have some pertinent documents or, you
want to. What do you want from me? I mean, I've got.
Let me get the file. The 44 file.
48419B. So you want me to send?
So I have it. Let me get that.
48419B. 48419B.
Williamson County.
Yep. Williamson County. And, is there a number I can keep for you also or not?
I'll call you when I finish reviewing some of that, okay?
Okay. The reason this is somewhat time sensitive, and I know I've been fighting this forever.
If you need a number, 615-232-7513.
Okay. What I wanted to say is the reason that this is somewhat time sensitive is because if I know that you guys if this isn't going to be actionable for you, I want to take it to the press because it's real timely with what's going on with Binkley, and Binkley is persecuting some other people that are good people, lying about this whole thing, and it's an ideal moment for me to take it to the press, but I wanted to talk to you guys about it first, and the reason I want to talk to you guys about it first is they still don't see me as a threat. So if you guys tell me to go file this or that and see if they respond to it in a legal manner, I'm still not seen as a threat. I have not exposed to them that I have uncovered the emotional stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, just right off, I can't. If this file's closed, like the appellate court has thrown it out.
No, they haven't. That's what's accelerated this is they've just contacted me about destruction, but they haven't destroyed it yet. And I asked them to hold it for 6 months.
But they've already ruled. Like you haven't appealed the merits of the case.
But legally, they couldn't force me to fight the merits of the case because the case was not done with due process.
I'm not being clear, I guess. No, I can't imagine we're going to get in a situation where I'm going to tell you to respond something to see.
Okay. I just wanted.
There'd be no court to respond to file in right now.
Well, what I'm saying is, with fraud upon the court, with violations of due process, there is no statute of limitations. The United States Supreme Court has ruled that over and over again. So statute of limitations-wise for that stuff, I'm not worried about at all. But I do need to give them some justification for holding on to my documents longer, and that's because I don't want to break the chain of custody of them having it versus me taking this to a federal court for civil actions versus whether or not there's any potential of doing something criminally here that would help protect other people in Middle Tennessee.
Understand. Okay, Jeff. Well, I appreciate you calling. I'll reach out when I get the file and review it.
Okay. And if you think it's just BS, just tell me. I'm a real straight up person. I'm not going to try to beat your head in the sand and try to get you to do something you don't want to do. I just want to try this and see if there's something there.
I can't make any promises because it's, I mean, this would be a very tough one to make a criminal case. But we'll see.
Even though the actual actions between the court people were so succinct and short, you still think that would be tough to make criminal?
A criminal, yeah. Now you may have a civil action, but we'll see.
Well, I'm not worried about civil stuff. I know I can do. I'm what I'm concerned about
was the FBI's role.
Well, the FBI, the thing with Judge Binkley and Attorney Story is they've been published multiple times for the fact that she should not argue in this court. And
but we have to overcome presumptions of, you know, judges required to recuse themselves and
the fact that
it's a conflict of interest, and if they don't, it's to jump in and say that's criminal. I mean, let me look and see what's there, okay?
Okay, but there's also
I got to see what the history is of Virginia and Binkley.
And I've also, again, taken this to the court of the AOC. I've taken this to the top of, and not, I mean, the amount of money that the state of Tennessee has paid to tell me no versus one person lifting a finger to put one single word of my written testimony into action, it's just not reasonable. I mean, it's completely unreasonable. And I offered,
let me see what's there.
I offered them even hold harmless agreements for everybody who cost me a penny, including the judge, if they would just take the freaking order of protection off and let me go on with my life. They could keep everything they stole from me in Tennessee. I offered them that for a year and a half, and they wouldn't even take it. And I've never even done anything wrong or been charged with a crime or had a hearing.
Okay.
So anyways, thank you, Tracer. I'm sorry. I wish I knew how to condense this and just make it look as simple and just take the parts apart. But I'm going to send you some stuff and let me know if there's something more specific that you need from me. I know it's hard to tell, but I appreciate your time and taking my call. Thank you, sir.
All right. I'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.